Hello, welcome back to ECE by Miss T. Today we're covering healthy eating habits for your toddlers. I'll be explaining what family style dining is, along with its benefits, tips for better communicating with your child's caregiver about your child's eating, and exactly how to introduce new foods to your little ones. So, let's jump in. Guys, I feel like we've all kind of been there, being excited to cook, something new and delicious for us, only for your child to push it away and ask for like cereal or a PB&J. Now, I know when I was growing up, that was not an option. My parents pretty much hated wasting food. And it's understandable, right? Because food costs money and money does not grow on trees. However, mealtimes can be extremely stressful for children, especially if they aren't used to what's being served. And as I started to educate myself on childhood nutrition, I learned some great ways to incorporate new and healthier foods at mealtimes without it being so stressful. And I'm really excited to share these with you because it's literally so simple that when I learned these techniques, I had like a real facepalm moment. Like, but I mean, that's okay because we're all learning and growing together for the betterment of these little ones. So, it's fine. But first, let's tackle family style dining. So, family style dining is a meal service approach where foods being served for that mealtime are placed on the table and dishes with serving utensils, inviting people to help themselves making their plates. Now, most early childhood programs use this approach because it promotes independence, it gives the children a sense of control over their plate, and it reinforces important social skills such as sharing, patience, and communication. Now, I love this approach for all of these reasons, plus the fact that it creates an environment to add in more rich language. Now, if you know me, you know I am all about the language. We are talking a lot to these children. During family style dining, we can discuss moments in our day that stood out, and we can discuss how those moments made us feel. Whether they were negative emotions, positive emotions, how we coped with that. We can describe the foods that we're adding to our plates, covering the smell, texture, taste, and the look of it on top of, how those foods nourish our bodies. Now, I know this sounds like a lot, especially if you're used to chowing down with the TV on. Like, I get it. All of that talking can seem like a distraction or like, honestly, even more work on top of your already stressful work day. I feel you. Trust me, I feel your pain. But times have definitely changed in regard to families eating together. In a 2019 poll, YouGov reported that 62% of parents with children under the age of 18 wished that they had family dinners more often or somewhat more often. And especially with where we are with technology, the need to connect amongst family members is at an all-time high. We can get that connection back, and I feel like instilling this habit in our little ones is one of the best ways because they already thrive off of routine. So first, with family style dining, you want to include your child in the meal prep. Now, whether they're slicing cucumbers, smashing garlic or stirring pasta, just give them something that they can handle in the kitchen. This benefits them by helping them to feel a sense of control over their meals. And this is really a special way to go if you're introducing a new vegetable or any other type of food that they haven't had before, because it's going to give them time to explore that new food before they're being told to eat it. Next, you can allow your child to help set the table. Placing cups, utensils, napkins, plates, whatever you feel that they can handle, That will empower them and instill positive emotions in regard to mealtime. And honestly, it's also going to make them feel really good about being part of the team, of like helping out to bring the family together for this moment where we nourish our bodies and we connect at the end of the day. It's very important. So for family style dining, you're literally, like the definition said, you're placing all of the food for the meal out on the table with serving utensils. Each family will serve themselves and then pass each dish around so the other family members can serve themselves as well. Now, I personally feel that this method also gets rid of like that notion that children seem to have that food just appears on their plate, or like even the notion of like, oh, I threw my clothes on the floor and I went in my room the next day and they're not there. They just vanished. Like, no, people are actually doing these things and you can be a part of that process. But I also feel like this can add like a sense of appreciation to or for all of the work that goes into prepping and serving a meal. Now, I want to touch now on communicating with your child's caregiver regarding like their eating habits, because these caregivers are with your child for, on average, at least about 10 hours a day. That's a lot of time. So they're observing so much about your child, including their likes and dislikes when it comes to feeding. So simply asking your child's caregiver for like a copy of their menus, that can help you to gauge what your child is being exposed to for their meals away from home. You know, this is really for if you have your child enrolled in a program where you're not supplying their meals, like packing their lunches or anything like that, because they have their own menus that they go off of. And so if you know what your child is eating or is expected to eat all week, then, you know, that just helps you to see what they like and what they don't like. So you could try that, but you might also want to communicate new foods that you're trying with your child at home and how they're responding to it, and ask your caregiver to do the same. Because I know in my program, I try a lot of different vegetables and different foods with the children, especially as they get older, just to avoid monotony in their meals, because they can get boring. You know, those meals can definitely get boring for a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or breakfast, lunch, and snack that I provide personally. And actually, that's the perfect time to slide right into the tips for introducing new foods. Little segue action there. So I went in depth about family style dining, but I forgot to mention that this approach is like a number one pick to me, because for one, they're included in making the foods. Okay, that's amazing, because practical life activities are wonderful. Stirring, pouring things, measuring things, like that's all really perfect for their development. But also, they're going to see you, their parent, trying the new food yourself. Now, whether it's new to you or not, it's new to them. And sorry, I'm having a brain fart. It's been a long work day. But just bear with me. They're in a, like, in a prime time in their life where they can be influenced by the people in their community. Community is family, community is peers, community is teachers, caregivers. So that's one thing I really love about my program, is that the children influence one another. So if I have one child who hates broccoli and won't even look at it, you know, but I have two who really love it, you know, that one might actually pick up a small piece and try it because the other two are enthusiastic about it. So, you know, for you to model that behavior of trying new things, even if it is new for you, you know, your child will see that and they'll pick up on that because they're soaking so much information in by observation, And of course, by asking questions, but really from what they see first. So for them to see you trying new things and being excited about trying new things and being honest, like, hey, I tried asparagus, bud, and I just don't like it, but maybe you'll like it. You know, that's honest, it's real, and I think that they appreciate that. So, when introducing the new, try to refrain from making a big deal about it. So try putting, some new food on your plate. You can dress it up with some sauce if you like or not, whatever you like. But just enjoy your food and be vocal about how much you're enjoying your food. Because when we try to make it like a forceful thing, like you need to eat your food, like you better eat, you can't leave the table until you eat, like the children develop a negative relationship to the very thing you're attempting to introduce them to, which is healthy eating habits at the end of the day. A lot of the foods that you're trying to get them to eat are nutritious for them. And so if we try to force it down their throats, literally and figuratively speaking, that's really just going to make them reject it even more. And they're also going to create a very negative connection to food. So we all know how children love to eat off their parents' plates. Now, whether this bugs you or you don't mind, it's okay because that's another approach for rolling out new food for them. So, for example, if you love pita chips and hummus, but you haven't offered hummus to your child yet, you can put some on your plate when you guys are about to watch a movie, or if you want to watch your child play outside and you just kind of want to eat a snack while you watch them, just put that on your plate because if they're already in your plate, if they're already like, noticing that you're eating something and it's not like a meal time or, they don't have anything to eat at that moment, they're gonna probably come and try something that you have, especially if you explain what it is, what it tastes like, what it smells like, because that's technically not making it a big deal. When I say don't make it a big deal, I mean like don't make it a big deal negatively. Like I said, being forceful about them trying new things does not help at all. The last approach that I'm going to mention is creating a snack plate for your child. So, if they want a snack of, let's say, I don't know, like a Pop-Tart, perhaps we can make a habit of taking the food out of the packaging, putting it like on a plate and adding a fruit or vegetable that they love, and then adding one fruit or vegetable that they haven't tried yet. Now, this method was the reason why I facepalmed. Because it sounds so simple, right? Like, pair the foods they love with the new thing. Hello. Pretty simple. But the key to this is to not overload their plate with it. So, for instance, if I want to introduce red bell pepper at snack time, I'd cut it into very small pieces and maybe plate about two of those pieces, opposed to cutting larger pieces and putting a full serving size on their plate. Because I feel like when we do this, and it's not just what I feel, it's fact, like when you do this, it ends up being a little intimidating for your child because the food is already new. And so they're being very critical of what it looks like, how big it is. So if it's a lot of it on their plate and it's in big pieces, they'll feel like they have to eat it all. And that'll immediately make them shut it down. Like, nope, I'm good. I'm not eating this. I can't even fit this in my mouth. Like, what are you doing? So the smaller pieces and the less plated option goes for all food. So not just vegetables. It can go towards fruits, meats, cheeses, grains, anything that you want to introduce to your child. Perhaps you could try very small portions of it at first, literally two small pieces, if not one, just so that they can try it after they've eaten everything that they really like off of their plate. I also learned that children really care about the texture of your food too. So that's why you can offer your child like shredded chicken and they won't touch it, but then one day you try them or you try to give them ground chicken and they clean their plate and they ask for more. So that's another point to consider, you know, the texture of the food that you're trying. I love that because with children, just because they don't like one type of food at one given instance does not mean that in 3 days or in a week, you know, they're still gonna hate it. With children, especially at this age of young toddlerhood and older toddlerhood, your best bet is to pretty much keep trying foods that they don't like. You know, still put it on their plate, you know, still offer it with family style dining. When they get to putting the foods on their plate that everyone's passing around the table, when they get to a plate, when they get to a dish of food that they don't care for, ask them to just take one piece. Take one piece and I'll cut that for you. Or take one sweet pea, one little one, and see if you like it. That's one method that I use when I'm working with the children in my program and I'm trying something new. I just let them know if you try it, you can let me know if you like it. If you like it, I'll keep making it. If you don't like it, I won't buy it again or I won't make it for a while, you know? And that basically gives them another sense of control. We always talk about control with our toddlers because, as I mentioned in our Who's Terrible Twos episode, I think that was the first episode of this podcast. At this age, they are striving for things that they can control. They want a say in things, they want options, they want control of things. And that's perfectly fine to give them things that they can control. So, with the food, I think that that's something that gives them a sense of empowerment because it's like, okay, I can let you know if I don't like this, then, you know, I trust that you say you won't give it to me again for a while. And so, you know, that's not deceiving. It's very honest. I won't give it to you for a while. I'll try it again in a couple weeks. And if you don't like it, then okay, we'll try it again later. But I'm not gonna make you eat it if you don't like it. Take a bite. If you don't like it right off the bat, then that's okay. You know, the goal is to not make it stressful. So if you are on Instagram, I recommend that you follow an account called Mama Knows Nutrition. It's MamaKnowsNutrition. Mama Knows Nutrition. This is a mother, but she's also a nutritionist, and she creates really beautiful content, easy to digest, you know, knowledge-based, fact-based, scientific-based information about introducing new foods to your child and healthy expectations with introducing new foods, healthy boundaries with introducing new foods. Like she's got a lot of insight that I've learned a lot from. So I recommend, you know, checking her out. I'm not sure if she's on Facebook or not, but I know for sure on Instagram she's there. Well, guys, that is the end of this episode. I truly, truly hope that you were able to gain knowledge on this topic. Remember, feel free to like this episode with a thumbs up on the Anchor app. Share it with other parents. Send me topic suggestions because I'd really love to give you guys the exact content that you want as a listener and as a parent. Above all, I really want to leave you with this reminder that you do not have to be a perfect parent. No one is. Literally, no one is. So So, try to take that pressure off of your shoulders to be, you know, having it all together and all figured out. Nobody does. We're all doing the best that we can. And you've got this. And I'm so very proud of you for seeking out knowledge on raising these amazing little ones. Until next time.